I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I saw Christopher Nolan's new film Interstellar at the Lincoln Square IMAX Theater here in New York City. That turned out to be a good call, seeing it at, as a staff member helpfully proclaimed before the film started, the second largest IMAX screen in the world. You want larger? You need to go to Australia. Interstellar, on a genuinely big screen, is an impressive, immersive experience. But interestingly, unlike Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity, whose entire reason for being was to envelop you in the experience, I don't feel it's essential to see Interstellar that way. And in some ways, that's how I feel about Interstellar overall. Not that it's impressive, but non-essential. That's a little too harsh. It is a very good film. But in terms of the stakes the film sets for itself and the science fiction classic it pays homage to in practically every frame, one just can't ignore the shortfall. And let's just say this right out. If Chris Nolan wasn't going around pointing out that his tale of a team of astronauts led by Matthew McConaughey and backed up by Anne Hathaway, who plunge into a wormhole to find a suitable planet for the survivors of a dying Earth, took its inspiration from Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, among other films, it'd still be damn easy to tell. From the monolithic, wisecracking robots to a side trip to Saturn to its trippy finale to much, 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 much more, much, 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 much more, the cues are all there and pretty blatant. And I don't mind, because for all that Nolan does pretty much rub your nose in it, it doesn't really distract. Nolan pays homage while still making Interstellar his own, and I respect him for that. But it leaves me with the problem of evaluating the film without seeing it through the lens of the greatest science fiction film ever made. There, I said it. Anybody want to take me on? I'm going to try to do that eventually, but let me say this. There are two typical criticisms of Stanley Kubrick's science fiction epic. One is about its length and pacing. The other is that it's perceived as lacking, for want of a better term, heart. That latter knock is, I think, bourgeois. Not all heart can be measured in terms of a guy and a gal sharing a clinch at the fade-out. And how can a film in which humanity discovers there's something greater, more awesome, more mind-blowing than its own petty concerns be said to be lacking heart? As for the film's running length, well, time is very much a function of 2001's story, and the deliberate pacing and expression of the film's themes of humanity finally confronting the vastness of an unbounded universe and the potential that may reside there. 2001 is an experiential tale. You live its themes as much as watch them. To his credit, Chris Nolan and his brother Jonathan, who co-wrote the script, fully appreciate this aspect of 2001 and actually double down on it. Time is a big theme of Interstellar, not just in the ticking clock of the survival of humankind, but in the way the physics of interdimensional space travel, the wormholes, the gravity wells, can warp one's experience of time, setting people, despite their shared goals, on very different paths depending on which spaceship or planet they happen to be standing on. That aspect of time warping then leads directly into Interstellar's heart, and its tale of McConaughey's struggle to return to his loving daughter, whom he leaves as a child, and encounters over time and video transmissions as a fully grown woman played by Jessica Chastain. Yes, it's more conventional than 2001's contemplation of life, the universe, and everything, 42, but is in its own way a compelling way of bringing the awesome scale of Interstellar's themes down to a human perspective. Where Nolan's approach falters is in the film's trippy finale, which eschews Kubrick's confidence in an audience being able to piece together their own answers in favor of an overwrought, trans-dimensional confrontation stuffed with reams of exposition that both McConaughey and Chastain make the emotions credible, despite the clunkiness, is a credit to their skills as actors. That Nolan falters a bit in the clinch means that there was one lesson from the master that he maybe should have paid a little more attention to. Trust your audience to find their own way to your themes. It really isn't all that hard. But listen, to take on Out of Love and Respect one of the signature achievements of science fiction cinema and to come up with something that pays tribute and is still fully one's own is nothing to sneeze at. At close to 3 hours, you do feel the burden of Interstellar's running time, but all told, it's an amazing, thrilling, and intelligent adventure with, surprise, surprise, more heart than one usually encounters with a Nolan film. It is quite an achievement among Nolan's best. I'm Dan Persons. We are archiving these reviews over at MightyMoviePodcast.com, and if you love science fiction, fantasy, and horror film, please check out CineFantastic Online over at cfqonline.com.